Turn with me now, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. Last Sunday morning, we ended our message with these two verses. These were the last two verses of the message. And tonight I'd like to use them for our text. It's verses 23 and 24. Jeremiah 9, verse 23, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." That's good, isn't it? This message tonight is specifically for sinners who have been saved by grace. That's who this is for. This is for sinful men and women, boys and girls, who know that they are absolute sinners before God. Some people know that. I believe some boys and girls know that. And this is for any person who knows that there is nothing in them worthy of His favor. Nothing in them worthy of His salvation. This is for sinful men and women who know that the only hope that they have before the judgment throne of God is the blood that Christ willingly shed for that judgment. That's who this is for. That's who this message is for. I want to make that very clear. I want to repeat the same thing over and over again. This message is for every soul whose hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking to Christ, His person, His work, His sacrifice, His blood. To every person who is looking for Him, looking to Him and looking for Him, waiting for Him. You know, that's what He causes His people to do. He, through the message and through the preaching and through hearing these things, we become convinced of them. We become settled on them. We start waiting for them. And that's what we're doing. We're waiting for Him. Believers is what He makes us to be. That's what a believer is, a believer in the promise of His Word. This message is to believers, to those who have been called of God, called to be His people. This is what I want us to do. This is who I'm speaking to, and this is what I want us to do. I want us to get to know Him a little bit. We do this all the time. And I want us to more so get to know Him a little bit. We're going to spend eternity getting to know Him. And I want us to get to know Him just a little bit more through His Word. He said, "Learn of me." That's what He said. Peter said, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Grow in grace and in the knowledge of Him. Verse 23 right here says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Let him glory in this right here, that he understands and knows me. That's what I want us to do tonight. As people who have been given a heart for him and have been called to him and have been saved by grace through faith in his blood, I want us to get to know him. With wrath being settled, you know, every time we stand up, we preach what we are and who he is and how sinners are justified before God. And I'm trying to establish that because there's something to say after that. With wrath being settled in his blood on the cross. With justice being settled. God's anger being appeased through what Christ did for us. With all that being done, I want us to get to know the one who redeemed us. And I want to focus tonight specifically on what he delights in. What he delights in. You can't know that about somebody until you get to know the person. I won't go through each one, but I've gotten to know you all a little bit. And I can tell you there are things that stand out about you that you delight in. Some people are known for delighting in certain things. There's some people who just love to fish. Why do they do that? I don't fish. You know why I don't? I don't delight in it. I told somebody one time, I don't mind catching, but I don't like fishing. Some people love to play golf. I don't play golf. Tried, found out I didn't delight in it. Does that make sense? Some people, you get to know somebody, and you get to know them and what they delight in. Well, verse 24 says, let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. That just blesses me. It's been blessing me ever since I read it. In these things I delight, saith the Lord. Things that our Lord delights in. That's what we're going to look at, think on. Things that are delightful to our Lord. Things that he takes pleasure in. Things that are enjoyable to him, enjoyable to do. That's just an awesome thought to me, to think about him and his existence. And just to think about things that are enjoyable for him to do. That's what delight means. Something you enjoy very much doing. Well, there are some things that our Lord enjoys very much doing. And let's see what they are, okay? Turn with me to Psalm 40. Psalm 40. Now, from verse 7. We can most definitely tell that this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. Verse 7, Psalm 40, verse 7 says, then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. Hebrews 10 tells us that was the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. Hebrews 10 tells us, Christ said, then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it's written of me. This word is all about him. Verse 6, Psalm 40, verse 6, it says, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. The blood of bulls and goats could never take away the sin of his people. So Christ is the one who came and gave his own blood. It took the blood of God's Lamb. Bulls and goats couldn't do it. So Christ said, I'll do it. Verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. Now watch verse 8. He said, I delight to do thy will. Oh, my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Now, we could spend our time talking about how in our flesh we can't do his will, and even if we could, we wouldn't, because we don't delight in it. In our sinful flesh, we don't delight in it. We love darkness rather than light. That's us. But here's the thing. This message is not about us. This message is about him. So we're not going to dwell on us. We're going to dwell on him. He said, Father, I delight to do thy will. I delight to do thy will. I take pleasure in doing thy will. It is enjoyable to me to do thy will. What was the Father's will? What was the Father's will? Every soul that he gave to Christ, he said, I want you to raise them up on the last day. That's what he said. Our Lord said, this was the Father's will. Every soul that he gave to me, he said, I want you to raise them up at the last day. There is coming a last day. There is coming a last day. And on that day, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to raise up every soul that his Father gave to him. And he says, I take great pleasure in that. We think all the time, and we've mentioned this before, but we think all the time about how glorious that's going to be for us. Well, our Lord says that's going to be glorious for him. He says, I take great pleasure in that. I enjoy that. Raising my people up is so enjoyable to me. Doing the Father's will, that's so enjoyable to me. Doing the Father's will is righteousness. That's what it is. Doing the good and perfect will of God the Father. That is righteousness. And verse 9 right here, he said, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I've declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. He mentioned righteousness. He mentioned loving kindness. And you know the rest of these verses here in Psalm 40. On our behalf, as our substitute, he's crying out, bearing the judgment of our sin for us. And he said, that's what I delight in. Righteousness, loving kindness, and judgment. So that's the first thing I want us to notice. Our Lord delights and he takes great pleasure in doing the Father's will for us, for himself. All right, now turn with me to Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11, verse 1 says, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. A just weight, justice. a false balance, you know, somebody heavy thumb in the scales, that's abomination to him. But a just weight, the Lord loves and he enjoys and he delights in justice. Justice being served. Doing justice. Accomplishing justice. In a world that is so unjust, there is so much injustice in this world. It's just full of injustice. You can't trust anything. You can't believe anything. So much injustice is taking place. Isn't it so wonderful to know that our Lord enjoys and he delights in, and therefore he commands, and he will establish in the end, absolute justice. Absolute perfect justice. The judge of the earth is going to do right. He's going to do absolute justice. It was absolute justice that saved our souls. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's what the law said. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Christ himself was weighed in the balances. The balances of our sin and God's judgment. He was weighed in the balances on the cross of Calvary. And thank God justice stood in the end. Christ accomplished justice for all of his people. And he delighted in doing so. Look right here at verse 20. Proverbs 11 verse 20. It says, "They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight." In satisfying justice for us, he made us upright in our way. He made us to be what we were not. And he delighted in doing that for us. He delights in doing the Father's will. And what was the Father's will? Satisfying justice for his people, raising them up justly and rightly, and he delighted in doing that for us. Now, because of that, go with me to Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62, and before I read this, ask the Lord if he'll make this a blessing to you. Isaiah 62, verse 1. Let's read this carefully. "For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God." Verse 4 says, "Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah." Do you have a center margin in your Bible? Hephzibah means, "My delight is in her." And he said, "Thy land shall be called Beulah." You have that reference? It means married. "For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married." Married to who? Him. Him. The Lord takes great pleasure in his bride. The Lord takes great pleasure. He enjoys and he greatly delights in his bride. To only say that we're His people. I was really thinking about this. We're constantly saying we are His people. That's true. But to only refer to us as His people is almost, it almost sounds diminishing of His love for us. We're His bride. We are His bride. We don't just belong to Him, we're His bride. And our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the great husband of the church. And He loves and He cares for and He enjoys and He delights in His bride. I was trying to enter into this. I wish I could enter into this, and I wish I could describe to us. I wish I had the ability to some small degree describe to us the love that Christ has for His bride. The joy that she brings to Him. That, you know, we can't understand it. We can't understand it. But she does. She brings joy to Him in all of her righteousness that she's been covered in. He loves righteousness. And she's been completely robed in it. And in all of the justice that has been settled for her, He loves justice. And that's what she is, justified in Him. He loves her, and He delights in her. He left His Father to cleave to her and to her alone. She is His love. She is His heart. He loves her as He loves Himself. And He enjoys His union with her. And in her redeemed perfection, she makes Him so happy. She makes Him so happy. All of His thoughts toward her, He said, I know what my thoughts are toward you. All of His thoughts toward her, all of His feelings toward her, all of His heart toward her, all of it is loving kindness. That's what it is. Loving kindness. Proverbs 8 says, His delight is to be with her. Proverbs 15 says, He delights in her prayer to Him. He delights in the prayers of the saints. Her communion with Him. In the same way that our great delight is in Him. Can't we honestly say that if we have any delight in this world, it's in Him. It's in Him. In the same way that it can be said, our delight is in Him, amazingly, His delight is in us. His delight is in His people. Seeing what we are in the flesh, we can't possibly fathom that. We can't understand that. It almost sounds blasphemous. But God says it's so. Being redeemed, He said in verse 4, the Lord delights in you. He delights in you. There is absolute happiness. I really don't know of a greater happiness on this earth, earthly and worldly speaking, than a man being madly in love with his wife. I want to encourage all of us men to ask the Lord to cause you to fall madly in love with your wife, like you did when you first met her and worked up the courage to ask her out and worked up the courage to get on one knee. Ask the Lord to let you fall madly in love with her. I don't know of a greater happiness. And I don't know of a greater happiness than a woman being madly in love with her husband. Eyes for no one else. Him alone, her alone. I'm telling you, that is happiness on this earth. That truly is happiness on this earth. That brings great delight and great joy. And that's what we feel in Him. That's what we feel in Him. That's what He feels in us. That's what we have for him, and that's what he has for us. Hebrews 12 says, he endured the cross and suffered the shame because of the joy that was set before him in doing it for his wife. A man who is madly in love with his wife will suffer the shame and bear the cross. Jude said, he has presented us faultless before the presence of his glory, and he has done it with exceeding joy. Another way of saying that is this right here. Turn with me over to Micah chapter 7. If your Bible's like mine, it's page 1158 in the Old Testament. Micah chapter 7. Verse 18, Micah 7, verse 18, it says, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Why did Christ save us? Why did he endure all that suffering for us? Why did he bear the judgment for our sin and our shame with such a happy willingness? Why did he do that? It's because he delights in mercy. He delights to show mercy. It's what he enjoys doing. He takes so much pleasure in doing it. So he takes pleasure in doing his Father's will. He takes pleasure in establishing and accomplishing justice. He takes pleasure in the loving and kind union that he has with his bride. And he takes pleasure in the mercy that redeemed her from all of her sin. So go back to our text. Let's read these verses one more time. Jeremiah 9, verse 23, it says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. We delight in knowing that he delights in those things, don't we? Our delight is knowing that that's his delight. The whole thing is just delightful. That's what it all is. It's delightful. Well, may the Lord bless it. All right, let's all stand together.